Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Quality sleep optimizes recovery, helping professional and everyday athletes perform their best. Only the Sleep Number Smart Bed is proven to improve the quality of sleep and provides valuable insights that can be used to support overall wellness. Talent on a college team allows the best players to outperform their opponents, but in the NFL, everyone is talented. Players entering the draft need every competitive edge they can get, starting with quality sleep. Training will only get more intense as players transition to the pros, so to optimize recovery, they can rely on Sleep Number for consistent, high-quality sleep. Experience game-changing sleep with a Sleep Number smart bed only at a Sleep Number store.
Today's episode of Zero Block 30 is brought to you by our good friends at Tommy John's. Whenever I was at Disney World a couple weeks ago, Tommy John's was a lifesaver. It was hot as a motherfucker, and my dick was sweaty as hell. And I got kind of spoiled, because I brought, like, legitimately six pairs, because I have a ton. And then when I came back, like, you get back off of these trips, and you don't want to do any type of laundry, like, right away. So I was completely out, everything was dirty, and I had to shift back to the old cotton boxers that I had. And I woke up feeling like my dick and asshole was, like, hanging out in the Everglades at night. It was terrible. I thought there was going to be, like, a crocodile or a python crawl out from underneath my testicles, but that didn't happen, luckily. But I did go with Tommy John's. I washed them the next day, and I'm back in action, feeling good, feeling crisp. And it's all because of Tommy John's. The summer's here, and you need to have no more swamp butt. Cons, I know you've been complaining about it too, and right now Tommy John's has, like,
we got 96% humidity today in New York City. Thank God I got my Tommy John's on, because otherwise it would be a mess.
It's so hot here. I'm miserable. I'm cranky. I feel like down in the dumps because every time I walk outside, it's miserable. Hurry to TommyJohns.com/chaps for 20% off. That's a huge deal. 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohns.com/chaps for 20% off your first order. Let's go. Let's do the episode. So I enjoyed hearing from you guys and talking about that, and being able to have an extra episode this week was kind of nice.
It was. Got a lot of cool messages from people, from civilians too, saying, hey, thanks for talking about it, and thanks for mentioning that it's not just veterans. And yeah, there's all sorts of good stuff coming out of that. So that was definitely a good one.
And if you're a mental health provider, or even if you know of a civilian equivalent to something like Headstrong, hit me up. I need to know about that, because I got a lot of messages like, hey, Headstrong is great for veterans, but what about firefighters, police officers, or just regular civilians who need to talk to somebody? Is there anything that you know that's like that? So if you know of anything like that, we would love to hear from you so we can spread that word as well. It's big time 4th of July weekend. Things are slowing down. It feels like at Barstool, summertime, things slow down, mainly because stories come out less and less. People spend more time at the beach. You guys up north fucking go out of town like every weekend. I don't know how you do it.
Every weekend. That is the ritual. Come Friday, we have to get out of New York City, have to get out of Hoboken, because if you stay, you're a big dummy head, because it is grossly hot. There's no air of movement. There's no body of water, really, that you can just jump in freely. No one's going swimming in the Hudson or the East River. So it is imperative to get the hell out of town.
So how does that work out, like, pay? Like, you just have to get along with your family? Like, everybody goes in halfsies or what?
Well, no. So, I mean, most people will do what's called a share house. Mm-hmm. So whether it's out on Long Island in the Hamptons or down the Jersey Shore, you get a group together. And I did this for years before my parents moved down there full time. And Kate, I'm sure you've done it, or know people who have done it.
Yep.
Down the South Jersey Shore, where all the weirdos from Philly hang out.
All the best.
But you get a bunch of buddies together, and you split a house for the summer. So from Memorial Day to Labor Day, you have a house that you just go to every weekend. And then sometimes, like, I had guys in my groups who were teachers, so they'd live there full time in the summer or spend more days than just the weekends. But other than that, you just need to have a place that you can escape to on the weekends and really just get away from your job, get away from the weather, and relax. It's excellent.
I just don't know how people afford it.
I don't know how people afford, like, having... Well,
because it's – so you figure it's $20,000 to $30,000 for the entire summer. But if you split that up 10, 15, 20 ways – it gets pretty affordable. And when you think about what you would spend maybe if on a hotel multiple times and all the money you spend on alcohol every weekend, it ultimately works out, and it makes a lot of financial sense. And it varies as you get older. As you get older, you know, maybe you get a bigger house with less people because people are making a little bit more money. But when you're young, man, it's not uncommon to just stack
in South Jersey
20 people in a house.
Yeah, it is like that crammed in like sardines.
Miserable.
Yeah,
man.
It is. You walk by. Oh,
it is, but it isn't.
Yeah. You but walk by the porches at night, and it's like walking through a college town. Like, the porches are just covered in house share people, just like.
But it's so much fun.
It is so
much fun. It
really
is. I mean, some of the best summers of my life. I've talked about it on here, that, you know, when I got out of the Army and I lived at the beach for the entire summer with all my buddies. It could not have been better.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And then you get people who – some people who do a full share so they can go every weekend. Some people who do a half share where they're only allowed to come half the weekends, obviously, and quarter share. But then you get into problems with people like half share, quarter share, end up showing up every weekend anyway. But honestly, you just don't care because you need to have a house down the shore on the weekends.
And your wedding season is a lot in the summertime too. Like I notice a lot more people from up north get married. And we get married early spring, wintertime because it's cool. Like here, if you're having an outdoor wedding here, it's going to be 110 degrees, dude. I performed a wedding, was like the officiant a couple years ago, and it was in the middle of July, and I thought I was going to pass the fuck out, man. I like sweated through my tux. It was horrible. I wish I would have had a tux from the black tux. Man, what a fucking transition by me. Wedding season is upon us.
Like
you're
going to
nailed it. You're going to be going all out to a buddy's wedding, and you're going to be bringing a date. You want to look fresh, but it's convenient. And if you're anything like my sweaty friend Cons, you're probably going to sweat through your tux. That's the beauty of this. You don't have to buy one. You can rent it, and they have the best kinds, the best tuxedos that you would normally be wildly expensive. You can get the Emerald Shaw tuxedo.
Expensible, that's a new word. Expensible. I like it.
Well, you could have an expensible item.
Expendable.
Expendable means you can get rid of
it. You can expense it. Okay. You're right. My bad.
Thank you. So try out a new look. Do something different. Take your style to the next level. They don't give a fuck if you sweat through it because you could just send it back. Shipping is free both ways. You could try it on at home. You look outstanding in it. You could take pictures, take selfies, get people ready. Ordering it, then your suit will arrive 14 days before the event. If it doesn't fit, you could send it back and they'll do all the necessary alterations. Thank you. You can get that for $20 off your first purchase there. You can go to the blacktux.com/chaps. That's the blacktux.com/chaps for $20 off your first purchase. If you're buying your tux from somewhere else for a summer wedding and you're going to sweat through it, you're making a mistake, go through the blacktux.com/chaps and you're going to be looking fresh and fly. I'm excited about the summer because my wife said that we thought we were going to do Disney and that was it. But we're also going to get a lake house
when
Kelsey comes back. So I'm excited about that. And then we also have nailed down our Thanksgiving plans already.
Well, let's hear them.
We're getting rid of family and friends altogether. Isn't that just so wonderful?
Such
to hear?
A good feeling.
We're not going to hang out with our family at all. We're not hanging out with friends at all. We're going to this indoor water park. So they have it's basically like a Walmart-sized place. It just has nothing but water slides and swimming pool for our kids to play in. And we're going to go do that for Thanksgiving instead of just hanging out with family and getting in fights and arguments.
Just water parks and turkey sandwiches.
That's the best.
Trendsetter. I don't know. I'm the opposite, though. I hope to have a huge family one day. I like really big gatherings. I like being around people. I like socializing. So I'm a little different in that regard. So if we skip Thanksgiving, I think I'd be a little upset.
I mix it up because I have one side of my family's enormous. My dad, one of 13, and then my mom just has a sister who, so it's like going one Thanksgiving, it's like mayhem. The next, it's nice and quiet. Mm-hmm. So I get the best of both worlds. But I would also love to be going down a water slide with like a turkey leg in my hand at the same time.
I think it's going to be really awesome. Like no fights at all, no political conversation. Yeah. Nobody who cooks shitty food, because my wife and I, we're good cooks. So when people bring over shitty dishes of something that I like for instance, if you come to my house for a barbecue or get together and you bring terrible deviled eggs, I'm angry at you for months. Because
that's awful.
One of the only things that I like is deviled eggs. I'll eat like a whole tray of them by myself. They're so damn good.
Let's talk 4th of July barbecues. What are the top things that you would bring, Chaps? If you were going to a 4th of July barbecue, what would you bring that you think this is a heavy hitter, this is a can't miss dish?
Well, I need to have like more. Where are we at? Are we at a lake? Are we at a pool? Are we at the beach?
Wow.
Let's say you're at a pool. It's a pool barbecue.
Okay, pool barbecue. I'm definitely going. Nice burgers. And I'm not talking about some fucking shitty burgers. I'm talking about really good burgers on a potato roll with a nice hearty roll, because you're going to be a little bit wet because you're probably going to be eating it on the side of the pool. You don't want to make the kids drop off. So if you get them a really cheap bun that's like 99 cents for an 8-pack, those buns are going to fall apart. I need a pretzel bun most likely because it has a little bit of the waxy kind of coating on the outside. So if your hand's wet, it's not going to affect you as much. And then I'm going to have to go with a very nice, if you don't bring a homemade type of mustard, whole grain mustard, I'm not probably going to come back again the next year. I want something really nice burger. Really
good
burger.
You can't skimp on the condiments. Condiments are, right.
Yeah, I like that. I like your barbecue. Yeah. But continue. Can you please just build out the ideal 4th of July barbecue for us?
Sure. And then we have a little bit of bourbon baked beans.
Sure.
You have an entire thing of bourbon baked beans that goes on the smoker. Inside the smoker, it's going to be 275 degrees, and you're going to be using hickory. Now, I know what you're saying. Chaps, I thought you were a big white oak kind of guy whenever you're doing barbecue. Mm-hmm. I normally am, but white
oak
is not.
We're all thinking it.
Yep.
But white oak is not strong enough to go through all that sauce that you're going to have on the bourbon baked beans. So you need to have hickory. It's going to kiss the top just a little bit. Inside of those bourbon baked beans, that's where the white oak, because days before you prepared yourself by having the bacon inside your smoker that you already put up in bits, and that's going to be inside. So that's where you're going to get your white goat, your Texas flavor from inside of that. But you don't always want just hot stuff, so you're going to have a nice coleslaw. We're not going to go with a mayonnaise-based coleslaw because everybody knows you're going to be outside for a while, and that mayonnaise is going to spoil, so you're going with a vinegar mustard-based coleslaw that you could put on top of your burger, and you're going to do the same thing with your potato salad to top it off because everybody's hot. You've had a pretty heavy meal at this point with beans, coleslaw, a nice burger. You need a fruit salad to go with it to cool you down, and the fruit salad is going to be sliced in a way that it's possible for the ladies or the fellas to grab their nice Pinot Grigio, pour a glass, take a spoonful of that fruit salad, and just shove it right in there. Easy.
Sangria. Perfect. That's perfect.
That sounds like a barbecue I would like to attend.
And it sounds very traditional. And speaking of traditions, I was wondering if I could give you guys a little quiz about Independence Day and the 4th of July.
Sure.
To see how much you know about our origins.
Let's do it.
All right. So it's going to be just 10 questions. And
pressure's
you guys
on
can
cons
work
here.
Together.
Pressure's clearly on cons.
Why is the pressure on me?
Because you're West Pointer.
You're West Point graduate.
In the jackpot.
Yeah,
I don't think
jackpot
anybody
now.
Really expects a UTSA guy or the Delco Dental School to be crushing U.S. history.
All right, let's go then.
All right, here we go. The Declaration of Independence was not actually signed on the 4th of July. What day was it officially signed?
Well, they declared our independence. Continental Congress declared our independence on July 2nd.
That's correct.
Yes.
That's it. All right. Awfully quiet over in Chap's world.
Well, yeah, he started talking. I obeyed the rules.
Well, you'll find some historians will say that it wasn't all completely signed until August.
Yes.
But July 2nd.
July 2nd.
Boom.
Nicely
done, Cons.
Which monarch reigned over the colonists at the time of the American Revolution?
The Tyrant Prince III. George III.
Yes, that is true.
I didn't like that hesitation.
All right.
Oh, wait. I can't cheat and act like I knew that from history. I knew that from The Office, like because whenever Dwight's talking to Ben Franklin, and that's what he's like, boy, the tyrant bit her George III, of course.
Yeah, real quick, just take a pause. Isn't it funny, I think, you know, growing up in our era, because we're all relatively the same age, I think it was so drilled into us that, like, TV's going to rot your brain, you're not going to learn anything from TV. I know so many weird facts from having watched TV, things of that nature, like you just mentioned.
I know a lot of, like, congressional policies from watching The West Wing, legitimately.
Yeah.
You can write a U.S. government class around The West Wing.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
It's true. And also, here's a weird point in the podcast where I should say I forgot to look up the answers.
Wow. She's just going to ask the questions. But
that sounds right. Yeah, that's nailed it.
Thinking about question number two, it said which monarch. So you were correct about King George, but who was the monarch? Elizabeth or Victoria?
I would say Victoria.
Elizabeth.
Chaps is right. It's Victoria.
Nailed it. 50-50 shot.
Who famously said, you guys should know this one, who famously said, I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
It's that motherfucker, Paul Revere?
Nope.
Damn it.
Shit. Who said, give me liberty or give me death?
Ben Franklin.
No.
No, it nope. wasn't. Shit. Damn it. You guys put this undue amount of pressure on me. And yep. I feel like, hold on.
Okay. All right.
Shit. Hold on.
Here, I'll give you a list. Was it Nathaniel Hale, Samuel Adams, Patrick Henry,
Patrick
or Paul
Henry.
Revere? It is Patrick Henry. Yeah. That's correct.
Thank God we're on a team here. I don't know that I would have gotten that one.
He said it in a speech made to the Second Virginia Convention. He said it to rile people up.
I'm disappointed in you, moving on that shit. I thought you were going to crush this.
So far I am. I just didn't get that one.
This one we'll toss to Bren. We'll toss this little scrap of a question to Bren because I think he'll be able to get it. Uh-oh. Which
PFC Bren's
which signer? Which signer had the largest signature on the Declaration of Independence?
Thomas Jefferson.
No, John Hancock.
No!
John Hancock. Actually, it's Herbie Hancock.
All right. Which country
And to tie it into what we talked about on High Haters, signing the Declaration of Independence, the biggest and most clear signature, that is big dick energy.
That is big serious time, big dick energy. I couldn't agree more. Which country assisted the colonists with financial and military aid during the Revolutionary War?
France.
That is true. All right. Let's see. Who was the oldest signer of the Declaration of Independence?
Ben Franklin, 70 years old.
Is that true?
Yes, that's true.
All right. That's good. Because I was going to Google it because I didn't look up the answers.
Don't even Google it. He said it so confident, it doesn't even matter. It's like a Marine Corps, like NCO of the quarter board. If you say it confident, you're right. Who cares if you're wrong? That's what you want from a leader. Even if you're wrong, go out for it. Nice work, Con.
That's true. From now on, in my mind, that's exactly who it is.
Yep.
I won't accept another answer.
Besides John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, which other president died on the 4th of July?
Oh, shit. Taft.
No.
I don't know presidents very well, I'll be honest.
I don't know who the other one is either because I didn't look it up.
This is the dumbest quiz ever.
I'm so sorry.
We stink at these games.
Yeah, I'm so bad. I thought I was going to be able to click the button. It was going to tell me, but no, you just click and nothing happens. So we'll let our listeners.
James
tell
Monroe.
Us that.
Oh, yeah.
Is that who it was?
Yeah, it's Monroe.
All right. Let's see. I'm just going to skip number 8 because I'd have to Google it. Which signer of the Declaration of Independence stated that this holiday ought to be solemnized by pomp and parade? With
John Adams.
Yes. And really quick, I was so
impressed.
He wrote
a letter to his wife, Abigail, and said, hey, this is what this – I really think this is going to be a big day that is celebrated for years to come with, like, pomp and drinks and parties and fireworks and explosions and everything.
I'm not impressed with that, of course.
Why not?
That's like saying that when World War II was ended, to be like, hey, man, they're really going to remember this. Like, no shit. People are going to remember the day this Hitler fella died. No, well, yes.
But wasn't this before the war really took off?
Yes, it was.
So this was a big dick energy moment because he was calling it before the war even happened. He was calling
Well, no, the war happened and it started in 1775 in April, and then this is now 1776, so a little bit of a year later. But it wasn't really done. No, it was definitely wasn't done.
Right.
And this is obviously the first time we were declaring our formal independence from England.
Yeah, and I feel like this is him
Who
saying
said that,
we're
Monroe?
Fucking winning.
Or Adams.
No, John Adams.
I'm not impressed. Adams had delusions of grandeur all the time. He probably said that kind of shit every day.
Oh, come on. He said it'll be celebrated with a great festival, commemorated.
Look how those dudes talk, man. They said, like, grandiose things all the time. Like, that's what they did.
Listen to this. He said pomp and parade with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, illuminations. Does that mean fireworks? Mm-hmm. From one end of the continent to the other forevermore. I mean, this guy called it.
That's just how they talked back then.
Yeah,
no,
I agree.
It was too boisterous or too
That's like
grandiose.
Saying the dudes who went to the first, like, legit Thanksgiving, not when we were, like, raping and pillaging, but, like, the second one, like, man, people are really going to like to get together and have a nice meal together. Well, no shit, dude. That's why Golden Corral exists, too.
You guys are really raining on my 4th of July parade, am I right?
What's the last one?
Yeah, let's
do
the last one.
So, let me do the last one here. How many of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were born in the United States?
Jesus, that's like a crapshoot.
None of them.
No.
No, there's definitely some, because there was one dude who signed it who was like only like 28, so it's possible that he was there. Of the 56 people who signed it, I'm going to say 12.
I'm going to say higher. I'm going to say 40.
No, see, here's why I don't think it's higher, because I think I would suspect that it was all these people who knew how bad England was. If you didn't know anything different than America, you know, why would you be so riled up?
Well, so I mean, look at the political landscape right now. Like, I asked my mom why she thinks that they need to build a wall in Mexico. And she's like, well, because they're taking my job. I'm like, name one person that you know that they have taken their job. So she can't do it. She just hears it all the time, so she thinks it's bad.
Well, I think I'm doing a little math here. I believe 48 of the signers were from the U.S. So
born in the U.S.
Born in the U.S.
Wow, that's a lot higher than I thought.
Shout out to
me. That's a lot.
Nailed it.
And right. You know, a super list lady, I just got to read this one thing. Did you know that the very original Declaration of Independence is myth? Is like no one knows.
Yeah, it's a copy that's in the the Library of Congress.
So maybe National Treasure is true.
Yes.
Maybe we should go hunting for treasure or something.
We could do that. Yeah, that would be a good episode.
Maybe so. And if we can't find them, maybe we can get our next guest to fight them because he's an MMA star. Let's go to that.
Yes.
Let's go to that interview.
Let's do. So we have Kyle Stewart, a Marine Corps veteran and MMA badass, and his next big fight's going to be at Joint Base Langley-Eustis in Fort Eustis, Virginia on July 27th. And, you know, buying tickets for stuff like that can be complicated and confusing, but there is a simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets for any type of event. Whether you're catching your favorite musician on tour, shopping for the perfect gift, or searching for a last-minute deal to see your favorite team, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. Nothing beats being there in person for the biggest plays of the year, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. Everybody knows I am technologically completely behind the times, and SeatGeek is truly like the easiest thing for me to use. So if I can do it, anyone can do it. I can be anywhere with just a few taps and instantly find seats. I actually use it to buy my Phillies tickets. And SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. They save you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, they provide grading for every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats to fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, listeners get $10 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code CHAPS today. That's promo code CHAPS for $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All right, let's go. We have a special guest today. We are joined with someone who just graced the cover of the Marine Corps Times looking like a total badass. It is MMA, mixed martial arts, for all you nerds out there like me, mixed martial arts professional with a 10-0 record, and he is a United States Marine. We have Kyle Stewart with us today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, we were just so impressed reading that article, and then I went down a YouTube rabbit hole and watched videos of you just absolutely smashing people's faces in and just jumping up on the cage and being totally wild, and we were like, we have to have him on. So you have a 10-0 record. How did you get into mixed martial arts?
Well, I actually, I've always been a martial artist since I was like a little kid. And then when, like I did karate for 13 years, like I was like the nerd in elementary school and junior high and even high school that was like doing karate while everybody else, you know, was doing other things. So I did martial arts up until I joined the Marine Corps. And then once I was in the Marine Corps, I always kind of liked watching the UFC, but I never like ever would have thought of fighting. And I was in Okinawa, Japan. I don't know. Did you ever go to Okinawa?
No. I did not.
Neither of us have, but our other co-host, Chaps, he spent quite a bit of time in Okinawa, so he's familiar with it.
Yeah. So on my second deployment, I went to Okinawa. And while I was in Okinawa, there's like three things to do. You can either become an alcoholic or get a lot of tattoos or get in really good shape. And, you know, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna get in really good shape and I want to learn how to grapple and I want to learn how to fight, because that was all that we could really do with our spare time while we were there. So pretty much every day I decided I was going to start training. And then I came back from there after training for like 3 months or so, you know, with a bunch of other grapplers and wrestlers and stuff. And I entered a grappling tournament just to kind of see, you know, get my feet wet just a little bit and be like, okay, let me see if I like this. And I won every single match and I got first place. And I was like, okay, maybe I could be good at this. Uh-huh. And then from there, it just kind of built into something more and something more and something more. Started fighting as an amateur maybe about 2 years after that. And this was all while I was still in the Marine Corps. I would go and in between deployments, I would compete a lot, fight a lot. And I like ended up being 9-1 as an amateur, so 9 wins and 1 loss. And I was like, you know what, I could either re-enlist and stay in the Marine Corps, or I could get out. I would try and do this professionally, and so that's what I decided to do.
That's awesome.
Get out, fight professionally.
It looks like the Marines was definitely something you were really committed to. It says that you have 3 tours to Afghanistan. You're an 0331 machine gunner. Around badass. And I love seeing how you rep. I always compare it to being an alumni to a school, like those Alabama fans who are like, Miami for life. Like when I see another Marine, like, and he's in the cage with the flag and stuff, I'm like, woo, woo, woo. Like, yeah, I'm such a dork, but I get really jazzed.
No, it's kind of like that movie, Kyle, I'm sure you've seen the movie Warrior with Tom Hardy, where he was a Marine.
Yeah.
And, you know, he fought in that tournament. So you see the pride that you carry with you, not only for the rest of your life, but then into the octagon. It's really impressive.
So yeah, that's the way that I see it, is that and the big thing that I like, when I fight, I have this hideous USMC tattoo on my back.
Yeah, dude.
I could not wait to ask you about that.
I mean, it looks like you got that in the barracks. It looks like you got that drunk in the barracks.
No, actually, that was the design that I picked for it. The guy that did it was like a legit tattoo artist. He did that. Well, you won't be able to see it, but he actually competed on the first season of Ink Masters and did really well. So
no
the guy's really good. Yeah. I just picked a horrible design. Like, I just picked a really bad way for it to look. Actually, that tattoo is more famous than me because do you follow Terminal Lance?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Yep.
There's a picture of my butt in a jock strap in the barracks. And the funny story behind this is so I was getting ready to go train. It was field day on a Thursday night, and field day was done, and I was getting ready to go to grappling practice, and I was just, it's the barracks, a bunch of dudes, they walk around,
yeah,
you know, naked, whatever.
Of course.
And
balls out,
yeah. So I just had a jock strap on, and my buddy comes walking by, and I'm like, what is that? And I was like, dude, these are for this is what athletes wear, you know, kind of like laughing. And then one of the Marines goes walking by, and he's like, started laughing. He's like the younger Marine. So I started chasing him down the hallway in my jock strap. And he's running down the hallway, and I like put my hands up to like yell or to be like, yo, come back. And then my buddy behind me took a picture of it. So there's a picture of my butt, a picture of my ass, and that tattoo. And then after my buddy left the unit, he sent it to Terminal Lance. Terminal Lance put it up. And the funny thing is, everybody that I had ever been with is like, oh my God, that's Kyle Stewart. I know that tattoo.
Oh, yeah. The identifying mark that you can't get away from.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you wouldn't be a Marine if you didn't have a solid, interesting tattoo.
That you absolutely maybe regret. Not really.
The other Marine and I both have tramp
stamps.
Actually,
you know what? And people tell me all the time, they're like, people are like, oh, dude, would you fix it? I'm like, you know what? Like, no, I don't think I would fix it. I thought about it, or getting it, like, kind of, like, gone over, you know. But I think about it, like, no, you know, I would keep it just just the way that it is.
No,
I
love it.
I just think it represents me.
And just for the listeners, if you can't see it, you can follow him on, it's Kyle_GunsUp_Stewart, right?
No, Guns Up MMA. In the, it's not an S, it's a Z. GUNZUP.
So yeah, that's your nickname, Guns Up. Where did that nickname Guns Up come from?
So I was a machine gunner in the Marine Corps.
Nice.
Guns Up is just like our weapons condition. It's what you use to describe, like, basically when you're condition one and you're ready to rock and roll.
Right.
So, and I never had a nickname. I always thought they were dumb. And then I was just always Kyle Stewart. And then when I was fighting, I was getting ready to make my pro debut, and I was all jacked up, and I just hashtagged, like, Guns Up and thought about it, and somebody was like, dude, that would be an awesome nickname. And I was like, oh, wait, yeah, that would be pretty dope.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like all great fighters, both UFC, boxing, just throughout history, all great fighters have a great nickname, so it's almost necessary for you.
Yeah, yeah, well, I got one.
That's good. No, it's a pretty, I think, arduous path to make it as a professional fighter. What, you know, you talked a little bit about, you know, transitioning out of the Marines and realizing, okay, I have this karate background and now I've done some amateur fighting and I think I got a hang of this and I think I could be pretty good. What was it that kind of clicked for you that said, okay, I'm going to dedicate my life to being a professional fighter? Because I think people sometimes see, like, the Conor McGregors of the world and they see, wow, it's awesome life. Like, wow, you have all this money and it's fame. And that is not
my shitty ass little apartment.
Yeah, I mean that's not the case for the majority of fighters. So I mean, what made you do that?
So like I said, I did martial arts my whole life, and then the thing for me is I would have stayed in the Marine Corps. I got out of the Marine Corps to start fighting professionally. Mm-hmm. But I had already deployed 3 times to Afghanistan, went to combat. I got to go on a Miu. I got to go to Thailand, Philippines, Singapore. I was just like, the way that I saw it was like, I could continue doing the same thing. I was going to try and re-enlist and go special forces, right? I wasn't trying to go MARSOC. The way that I look at it is like, look, I could have done the same thing at a much higher level, would have been way cooler, but it's essentially still the same thing. And, or I could get out and try and open up a new chapter. You know, life to me is all about adventures and writing a story and making something significant out of your life. You know what I'm saying? We all have the ability to, like, inspire other people. We all have the ability to make a name for ourselves, you know, and that was kind of, you know, because I was so successful fighting as an amateur, I was like, you know, I know I'll be at least a decent pro.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got out, moved to Arizona, and I, like, never left the gym. Yeah. And that's the other thing people don't understand is, like, I train, like, 4, 5, 6 hours a day. That's all
right.
I do all day
long.
I mean, MMA, it's similar to the military in that, you know, the camp that you fight with, I mean, that's like your family. That's... Your team that you're fighting with is very similar to the military with the amount of time you spent with them.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't have friends. I have training partners.
Right, yeah. Right, right.
Yeah. And we all beat the hell out of each other, you know? So yeah, that's basically what I've been doing since I got out. Other than that, I joined the Army National Guard, but I recently just ETS'd from that. So,
okay,
nice. You're free.
One weekend a month, I get to go relive the whole grunt thing and run around and do that. So that was fun. But honestly, yeah, this is the one thing I've been focused on. But as you said, as I said earlier, it's not getting. Everybody sees, like, Conor McGregor. It's kind of like capitalism. Only, like, the very, 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 very top 2%.
Sure.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that everybody sees. But there's a lot of guys like me that are in the struggle trying to come up. But after winning this next fight, I have no doubt that I'll go to the UFC after this fight. I'm getting ready to fight. It's going to be a huge fight. It's going to be massive. You guys got to tune in and watch it. It's going to be on Axis TV on DirecTV, if you can get DirecTV, or go to like a Buffalo Wild Wings. It'll be there live on the main event, world title fight against another undefeated fighter. So him and I are both, depending on what rankings you're looked at, we're like literally the number one and the number two guys in the country. So I kind of put myself into this position to where it's like, look, when I win this fight, the UFC has to pick me up because they, it's like, okay, you know, and I've already beat the number three ranked guy that was in the country back in February.
And when's the title fight?
It is July 27th at Fort Eustis in Virginia, if y'all know where that is.
Yes.
Very cool. Kick his ass, Seabass. Take him down.
You know, and one thing I was, you know, reading up on you, and one thing really stood out, you're talking about the desire to be significant and to represent your Marines, and you said, the UFC is every martial artist's personal lifelong dream, but for me, it's more about showing the men that I served with that we are still capable of greatness. And I think that's so important because in our veteran community, so many guys get out of the military and they lose their purpose and, you know, maybe end up going down a bad path. So I think, do you ever feel that it is almost a responsibility, your duty now to represent the Marines and to continue to show?
This is the way that I look at that is like, so I got into fighting because I like fighting. Or I like martial arts, right? And when I started to become successful, I started to realize that I was developing this following of guys that I served with.
Right.
Right. And even guys that I'd never met, just guys that are Marines or machine gunners that would message me on Facebook or text me or Instagram. And they would message me like, dude, I just saw your fight. I have no idea who this person is.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Hey, man, I just saw your fight. I was a machine gunner. With a different unit. I was a machine gunner, or I was in the Marine Corps from 10 years before I was in. And they're like, you know, I just really love what you're doing, and it really inspires me, and it's pushing me to, you know, do this with my life. And I was kind of like, well, it was never my intention to go and try and be Mr. Inspiration. Mm-hmm. But I realized that because I have that on my back, that tattoo on my back, because I carry that flag with me, when those guys see me, that's what I – people don't just see Kyle Stewart. They see a United States Marine. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And absolutely. So bringing up – that's why it's – you know, I'm kind of an idiot sometimes and I say stupid things, but I got to kind of censor. I got to think about what I say sometimes before I say it. Because I really do represent a lot more than just myself now.
Yeah.
And no, that's been the biggest thing that's pushed me for sure is – when I first started, it was just about something I enjoyed doing and then wanted to do professionally. And now it's like, whoa, like a lot of people are getting behind me for this. A lot of people, a lot of Marines. And it's like, okay, you know what? If I can continue to push these guys to be successful in their own life, you don't need to be an MMA fighter to.
Thank God.
Yeah, you don't.
Get my ass.
You don't need to be an MMA fighter.
Okay.
To be successful in life, you know, I have a platform where people can see it, but it's just a platform, you know, whether it doesn't matter if you're a cop, a firefighter, or if you got out and you're working in a prison and you're a father, you're taking care of your family, like everything that we do in life, we have to continue to remember that we're Marines and we have to conduct ourselves that way. You know what I'm saying? Like, we weren't just because you got out doesn't mean you stop being a Marine. And that means a lot to me. Is it's like, I feel like you have to attack life the same way, you know, and that's where people lose sight. You know, people, when people had a mission, when we had a mission in front of us, that was our focus. That we were on, we were switched on, and we were like, we're ready to go. But when guys get out of the Marine Corps or the military and they no longer have that mission and they're back in society and they no longer have that camaraderie, they no longer have like their best friends around them, a lot of them get lost. And, you know, a lot of them, unfortunately, drinking a lot, mm-hmm. drinking heavily is definitely a huge part of the military, you know. But when you say you get out of the military, you're definitely not waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go run anymore.
Right.
You're definitely going to continue drinking. you're going to get out of shape. And it's like, I see these patterns, you know. I have, I've had more than my first deployment. We had 20 guys get killed on our deployment. Mm-hmm. And then since then we've had, I think nearly 30 something guys in that unit commit suicide. Wow. So it's like, it's a big, big thing. I went to my buddy's funeral like 2 years ago, who I deployed with to Afghanistan. And that was like the biggest, I just remember seeing everybody there I hadn't seen in years, and we were all crying, and it was just like all the signs were there, you know? So when I talk about having a purpose at the end of the day, because life's going to throw curveballs at you. Life's going to serve you up like a shit sandwich. It's just the way that it is. You have to have something that you continue to push for, you know? And this is what I'm continuing to push for, is the UFC, you know? And that's the message that I need to get the veterans out there. You know, it wasn't what I started out to. I didn't start out to try and be some sort of role model, mm-hmm. you know, but I kind of became that. And I feel that I have the opportunity. So I owe it to the men that I served with and the men that are out there struggling. Like, look, like, you need to keep fighting. You need to keep moving towards something. Find your purpose, you know, find something that excites you in life. Like, you didn't go to war to come home and work a 9-to-5 for the rest of your life.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we can't do that. Mm-hmm. Like, we go crazy trying to do that, you know? Well, but that's kind of where that goes.
Yeah. I really respect that. Although you didn't set out to be a role model and an inspiration, you've really embraced it. And now you've realized it and you're going to take that to the next level. So, I mean, to take a quote out of your book, I hope you highlight real this dude, in this fight.
Yeah.
And Dana White notices, so, you know, you can get going in the UFC.
And we will definitely be rooting for you for sure. I just think it's awesome what you're doing. And for the listeners, again, you can follow him on Twitter at Kyle_GunsUp, GUNZUP _MMA. And thank you so much for coming on. We wish you the best of luck. Know that we'll be rooting for you the whole way. And we're going to go look for that butt pick on Terminal Lance after we hang up.
Just send it to us because we're going to find it anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Just shoot it our way. Specifically to me. Anyway. Again, thank you so much for coming on. Hey, Cons. Can I talk to you about something?
Absolutely.
I notice that you are an extremely stylish gentleman, and I have a pair of jeans that I'd like to recommend to you.
Please tell me more.
I will, yeah. It's Mugsy jeans. They're stylish, and they're as comfortable as sweatpants. And you've been saying in the hot summertime, you are so uncomfortable when you're outside.
Mm.
These are jeans that literally stylish and as comfortable as sweatpants.
How could it be?
Well, just last week we were talking about how good jeans feel, but if they don't hug your legs too tight. When you put these on, they feel like your legs are wrapped in a pack of golden retriever puppies.
Oh, that just sounds magical.
Yeah, they're soft and flexible, and it's pretty mind-blowing. As an added bonus, not only are you outrageously comfortable, you also look good as fuck in them.
Wow.
And I know that's important to you, a nice stylish fit.
It is.
Your pleats are always on point, your shirt, everything. Mugsy jeans, when you're relaxing, when you're not dressed up for work, I feel like these would be 100% right up your alley. And I don't know... You know, that the commander in your life, the girlfriend, she might know this, but I heard they're not ball crunching.
That's important.
Yeah.
But also, you know what else is important?
What?
I got an ass that won't quit, so to hear that they're stretchy makes me happy.
These are perfect for an apple bottom, I can tell you that much. And did I mention that Mugsy's gives you superpowers? I heard that when guys start wearing them, they're irresistible to women, unstoppable in bear fights, and you'll be able to punt a football 100 yards with ease. As a West Point footballer, I know that's important to you.
Very.
So you can do all that while wearing your Mugsies. And obviously, maybe some of this is exaggerated a bit. I heard that sometimes the bear fights end in a draw. But it's all pretty accurate description of what Mugsy jeans feels like. Now, some of you may thinking this sounds to be thinking that this sounds too good to be true, but that's not the case, fellas. If you're still in doubt, Mugsy has free and easy returns and exchanges, so you have nothing to lose. The only question that you should be asking yourself now, Cons, is why don't you have a pair yet?
I need 3 more pairs.
Well, look, here's what you can do. Go to MugsyJeans.com and use the code CHAPS to get $10 off their selection of lightweight, super breathable summer styles. That sounds like heaven on the legs. That's MugsyJeans.com. To snag a pair of your new favorite jeans or chinos today, I expect to see you floating around Hoboken with those good-looking legs.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
So having an MMA guy got me thinking. I think one of the biggest misnomers about military community, and mostly I want to say it's mostly Marines too, soldiers as well, but mostly Marines, is that people think that they can fight. And by and large, that's just not true. It's not true.
No.
Hand-to-hand combat-wise, like getting in a fight, a Marine probably has the same shot as Joey down the block. That's in equal shape. I will say that if you're on active duty, the odds are that you're in cardio shape are going to be higher than your average civilian out there. But just straight up fighting, not so much.
No, because we have some basic classes that teach you a few things, but no sort of advanced techniques in any particular martial art or anything of that nature. So I would agree with that.
I will say I drank the Kool-Aid so hard in boot camp and at MP school and stuff when they taught us all the McMap and stuff. And when I go home on leave, I'd be like, you guys want to see a move? You guys want to see a little karate
move?
Did you
go with the choke? Was your move the choke?
It was the one where you put your hand on their shoulder and one hand on their hip and you sweep the leg from behind.
The hip toss.
That's
a good one.
It was.
The hip toss, if you do it right, though, that hurts.
Yeah, it does.
Going in McMackman and getting hip toss over and over and over again so your buddy learns how to do it properly, if you don't walk out of that bitch with a slight concussion, your friend didn't do it the right way.
Yeah.
That
learn how to do that running roll somersault. I was like, hey, check this out. I was just
shoulder roll. Yeah.
Yeah.
How many times have you guys choked out your friends or attempted to choke out your friends?
I mean, it's been a while now.
It's been a while, yeah. But it used to be all the time.
Yeah.
If I went home on leave, somebody was like, I was going to be practicing on somebody.
Yeah.
Doing body hardening.
Just tap out.
Yeah. Just tap out slowly. And you guys boxed. You did a little bit of boxing at West Point.
Yeah, at West Point. Yeah, you have to take boxing as a class.
Did you like that, or was it like?
Oh, I loved it.
Really?
Yeah, it's real cool.
Did they make you fight for real? Like,
Oh yeah. We had to do four fights, four actual bouts.
Did you get all pumped up? Did they let you have music?
Oh yeah. No, it was like a big deal. Like, cause the whole class is watching, so you don't want to get your ass kicked.
What was your walkout song, Cons? If you had a walkout song,
we didn't do walkout songs, unfortunately.
If you had one, what would it be?
Oh wow, on the spot. What is it by, geez, I'm thinking of it right now. Stranglehold by Ted Nugent, just cause I love that guitar intro.
Oh, all right. That's a good one. Good.
Yeah.
A good boxing intro.
Yeah.
How did you do?
I was 4-0. No big deal.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And they recently had women. Women, didn't we talk about that one time before?
Yes.
We did talk about
that recently. Now women, take it as well. So it's pretty cool. It's, you know, it's just nice to know that you have some sort of training so you can defend yourself if that situation presents itself.
Yeah.
I used to love... Did you do, like, basically Hell in a Cell? Kate, did you... What belt did you get out as in the Marine Corps?
Brown.
So then you probably did. Like, at your green belt, whenever you have to... So at a green belt course or a green belt instructor course, they make you get in the middle. You can't get off your knees, but you'll have to fight several people over in a row. So you'll fight one person for 2 minutes, then that person leaves and somebody else that's fresh comes in for 2 minutes, and then that person leaves, and then you have to fight somebody else that's fresh, and you do it for four people. So you're basically fighting.
It's exhausting. I've never been more out of breath in my life.
Tiring. Yeah. And we used to do it in Okinawa. We would do it on the beach, like in the surf. So you're battling the water, you're battling all that shit, and you just keep getting tapped out over and over again, because by the time if you've never really fought and done that kind of stuff, you don't understand how tired you are after 90 seconds. I mean, 90 seconds of going at it and then have somebody fresh come in. But it's a good and valuable lesson because it teaches you what to do, how to do the technique properly, where you're not relying on strength. It really is all about technique. And if you do the technique, even when you're tired, you can tap somebody out.
It should still work. Yep.
Well, I fought dirty.
Why?
Because I was usually the only woman against these like bigger dudes. I would pinch the fuck out of them in the little nooks and crannies. And I remember the one corporal was like, "Stop, Sergeant, she's pinching." And he was like, "Well, she'd be pinching you in combat too." I'm like, "Yeah, I would."
Combat
so,
pincher.
Like, deal with it.
The Doberman pincher from Delco.
But they came to fear it because they knew I was going to be in those little crevices just twisting the shit out of their junk. Not their junk.
Yeah,
maybe.
Okay.
That's what Kate's fighting nickname should be, the Delco Doberman. Fucking A.
The Delco Doberman. I love it.
I'll take it.
Man.
Did you ever have to use it in a bar fight, though, Kate? You ever get in a bar scuffle?
No, but enough of our guys did that that's where I learned that we can't really fight.
Oh, like, watching them.
Enough of them got their asses right. beat out at the bars by, like, civilians that it was like, oh, this fake karate thing doesn't really.
This is not the movies.
Right.
And that shit happens more so probably in San Diego than anywhere else.
It's like the dude capital of the world. There's just, like, nothing but a giant sausage party with drunk guys. And, yeah, they get into all these big dumb fights. And I was privy to many. And it usually did not work out very well. So yeah,
because when you're in those situations, everybody wants to show that they have like the biggest, hardest cock. When all they really had to do was go to 4-Hymns and get some pills to make their boners even better. 4-Hymns, the listeners right now get $5 for a month trial of it. And right now, while supplies last, you can get $5 for a whole month, and it's going to be skincare, health care, boner care, everything will care. Because if 66% of men lose their hair by the age of 35. The thing is, you don't have to start, and once you notice your hair is gone, it's too damn late. So go with 4-Hymns. It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional, and so can having a flaccid dick. Nobody likes that. No snake pills or oil from gas stations, those types of supplements. It's all prescription solutions that are backed by science. Go to 4hymns.com/zero. That's FORHIMS.com/zero. 4hymns.com/zero. Any save rounds or alibis.
I have a badass of the week. Cue the music. May not have been the most physically imposing GI during World War II, but on January 24th, 1945, he was an unmovable rock against which a wave of German troops crashed and ultimately rolled back. Now Connor, who died in 1998, is posthumously receiving the Medal of Honor for his bravery in that battle, during which he called for artillery and to shell his own position. President Trump presented him the Medal of Honor to Connor's widow on Tuesday. With the U.S. military's highest award for gallantry, Connor became the second most decorated service member of World War II, according to the Army. He is surpassed only by legendary First Lieutenant Audie Murphy. With just a field telephone and a Thompson submachine gun, Connor ran from a forest where the rest of his unit was dug in to face about 600 German troops, including a small contingent from the SS, and several German tanks, including the feared Tigers. Connor spent 3 hours in an irrigation ditch directing artillery fire. At one point, German troops came within 10 meters of his position. Rather than pulling back, Connor called the artillery to hit his own position and said, "Just keep firing for effect." With 105mm howitzers and 81mm mortars raining fire on his position and the Germans within spitting distance, Connor likely knew his chances of survival were slim. And the article goes on to describe how he defeated those 600 Germans essentially by himself, all while getting shelled on his own position. So that is pretty badass.
That will never cease to amaze me when people know, like, you see the writing on the wall.
Right.
You know the odds are stacked against you and you go anyway. So, wow, that's cool that he's getting that acknowledgement. And thanks for reading that, Cons.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I wish we would switch up our Medal of Honor like process now, because when you look back at like throughout history, so many people who were deserving got it. I feel like there's a lot in Iraq, Afghanistan, and even in the wars that are going on in Africa right now, people aren't getting the recognition that they very much so deserve. I wish we would look at the award system. It's fucking stupid, the award system.
It is in a lot of ways. So
Kate, anything?
No, I just hope everybody has a great, because we're off next week, right?
Yes.
This episode's going to tide us over. I hope everybody has an awesome 4th of July. And
big 4th of July plans?
Big 4th of July plans for me. I'm going on I'm doing Baltimore and Annapolis.
Okay.
Yeah, so kind of doing a little bit of road tripping, hitting up the beaches down there. Some friends on the Chesapeake, so yeah.
And then when we come back, I'll be in the office the week after that. I'll be the 9th. I'm not doing much. I'm going golfing. I got like a tee time on the 5th already. Shout out to me. Last week I called to get the tee time, 7:45 on the 5th, the morning of the 5th. So it'll
Very
be
nice.
Cool by the time I get done. I can't wait
for
that.
You have the course to yourself.
Yep.
Course to myself. And I'm only
Nobody's
doing one.
Hungover.
And because I'm a member there and I know the dude who works the front desk is like a stoolie. I was like, don't put anybody with me. I want to tee off by myself. Take my time, get in the cart and just chill. I'm going to bring I'm going to put like 6 breakfast tacos in my bag like while I'm going.
Nice.
And just take my sweet ass time going through the course. Probably, and because I don't have that, I'm going to play 3 balls on every shot.
Yeah, that's a great way to practice is playing by yourself.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that as well.
I basically do what Dave did. I'll take mulligans, like if I need to, like I know I can hit a better shot here. Let me focus what I'm doing and go after it again.
I think that's a great idea. That's certainly a great plan. Being a Wednesday is a little bit weird. I don't know. For the holiday, but
well, it's kind of good. It depends on what level of job you have, like where you're at in your job, because a lot of times, if you have a Wednesday off, and you've elevated yourself through a company, you're not really working on Thursday and Friday. So then really turn it Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and you look at it like, ah, fuck. But you could take 4 days off on vacation time, have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and essentially get 10 days off, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, so I guess it's definitely good in that respect. But I don't know. Wednesday just feels weird to me. But nonetheless, I would argue beyond shadow of a doubt, 4th of July is a top 3 holiday in the country.
Well, yeah.
Ooh. What else would be there?
I would say Christmas and Thanksgiving. It goes Christmas, Thanksgiving, 4th of July. I think that's the three big players.
The only thing about 4th of July that I think knocks it down a tier is if you love having your holidays and sports intertwined, because 4th of July isn't really a big-time sports weekend.
Yeah, I guess it'll
Christmas,
be baseball.
You have all kinds of bowl games. You're going to have NFL surrounding it as
right,
well.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving same definitely as, has sports in, yep. incorporated as for that, too.
But 4th of July has the best sports, like cornhole and
and beer pong.
Now, you could say, I would accept the take that if you are a huge fan of ESPN The Ocho, that 4th of July is the best sporting holiday, too.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
So that's the one for me. But, I hope everybody has an awesome time.
Yeah, and one other thing. You know, it's so funny to me, I think. And
just to circle back.
Yeah, well, I'm just
a caveat,
just a caveat on that.
Just keep
it
here. Keep you guys with me just a little bit longer. And delay your holiday leave. Every time there's a holiday that is related to America, I feel like people find that the right time to thank people for their service.
Yeah.
And that weirds me out. It's like, you know, I wasn't there at the Battle of Bunker Hill. I wasn't there at Lexington and Concord. Like, you don't need to thank me for my service on the 4th of July. Thank you. That's really nice sentiment, but it's not necessary.
Do you
I just feel like
war?
people have raging freedom boners on the 4th of July, and so they just want to, like, release it all over everyone, and veterans are often the face that it lands on. You know what I mean? So,
and with that,
I want people to start thanking me for my service on Cyber Monday. I feel like that's a big one. Thanks, thanks to the servicemen and women who secured the rights to the internet. Cut out the outboard. All right, sound the retreat.